Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use the code word Jerry for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, which is normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable. It's dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you will ever sleep on. Makes a great gift. Makes a great Father's Day gift. Like us, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. So purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping out this show, but you're joining us in the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow is not in the big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using the code word Jerry. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Jerry.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
As we record this show, Joe Biden is on his way to Buffalo, New York. And I don't want to get my hopes up, but I'm expecting a complete and absolute disaster. I'm expecting tomorrow we'll have plenty of humorous content because our buffoon in chief is going. I assume the most important thing is on Air Force One. It would be his teleprompters, and they will have his speech ready to go. And he's probably practicing, and it is in the morning, so maybe he'll be alert. But you're going to see the most divisive. You're going to hear and see the most divisive, the most incendiary appearance of Biden's 16 months in office. That's my prediction. We're going to see. He's going to step up. He's going to blame. He finally has the gift that he's been waiting for, an actual white supremacist committing actual racist hate crime and murder. And he's going to console the families, I assume, and he's going to go to the grocery store. I'm not sure how they managed to whip together all those assets and resources in only a couple of days. It was impossible after the Waukesha hate crime murder in November. Couldn't make it. Still hasn't gone to Waukesha. Still has said very little about Waukesha. But as we know, that the victims there were white, and they don't matter to Joe Biden. He's going to use this. It is going to be cynical and divisive. And get ready, get ready. He's going to blame guns. He's going to blame white supremacy, the worst threat to our homeland. And he's going to bumble and fumble and stumble. And I don't expect it's going to be very, it's going to help. I don't think it's going to be very helpful and healing, but that's what Joe Biden does. He divides and conquers. And the easiest way to divide people is along racial lines. The easiest thing to do is blame white people and white supremacists and white nationalists and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Oh, we'll get to the Proud Boys. We'll get to the Proud Boys. Sean Hannity has now finally found a way to disqualify Kathy Barnett. Today, election day in Pennsylvania, big election. Kathy Barnett versus Dr. Oz. I don't know how any conservative could support Dr. Oz, but Sean Hannity, he's all in, and he's going to tell you why Kathy Barnett is a bad candidate. But we got a lot to get to. We got do we have our friend Tom Shattuck joining us today?
Allegedly.
Good, because there's a Zoftik woman on the cover of the swimsuit issue, and those are Shattuck's favorites. He's an authority on that, so we'll get to talk to Shattuck about that. We mentioned yesterday the greatest swimsuit cover I can remember is this year, Kim Kardashian in a bathing suit that looks like flesh. I'm just going to say, you're going to see Kim Kardashian in a spectacular cover. She does not look clothed coming out of the pool. It's not the only cover. They have four different covers. I mentioned yesterday it was an upset that they picked the spectacular looking Kim Kardashian and not a non-binary plus size pansexual cover, but I wasn't far off. They picked a plus size model as well. They have four covers. One of them is Elon Musk's mother,
yeah,
who is, she's a fine looking elderly woman, used to be a model. I understand that's kind of a gimmick. It'll probably work. Some people want to see that. But they also picked, what's her name? Yummy Mummy?
Yummy New. I think she's attractive.
Yeah, me. Of course you do. Of course you do. She's your kind of gal. Do you think when you look at the magazine and open it up, do you think she'll be the most attractive? Do you think she'll be worthy of the cover when you see all the swimsuit models?
No, I don't. But I also think Jordan Peterson needs to pump the friggin' brakes.
Oh, stop. He's just being honest. Big story. I got the New York Post story. Lots of blowback on Professor Jordan Peterson, who just tweeted out, "Sorry, not beautiful." And that, I guess, is controversial. When you look at what would you guess? Yummy is maybe two bills. She going two bills. And she has a very strange looking bathing suit on that shows her girth, and I know some people are into that.
My old pretty face, real pretty face.
My old partner, my sometimes friend, Kirk Minahan. You know, he loved Ashley Graham. We used to disagree on that. I don't think I'm a snob. I think I you don't have to be, you know, 120 pounds and rail thin, but I'm just. I mean, if she were just an average woman and you saw her out at a bar at the gym, well, I guess you wouldn't see her at the gym. But if you saw her at a bar, you'd say, she's a pretty large, you know, pretty plus-sized woman. Doesn't make you swimsuit cover material. I'm sorry. It's one of those great the issues where you're required to not tell the truth. If you say, well, she's a little chubby and maybe I would have gone with the, you know, Olivia, what's Christian McCaffrey's girlfriend's? Olivia
Culpo?
Culpo, Olivia Culpo. Maybe I would have gone with Olivia Culpo here. So you say pick the plus size.
No. I'm picking Kim Kardashian, but I just thought Peterson's tweet was a little friggin' aggressive, don't you think?
Peterson's tweet was simply, she's not beautiful. That's his opinion. I mean, honest to God. And it's somehow bigoted and fatphobic or whatever you call it. He's entitled to it. He doesn't think she's beautiful. He thinks there's better choices. There obviously is. Clearly, Sports Illustrated is pandering. I knew they'd have some woke, I don't know if you call it woke, some inclusive, diverse choice for the cover. But if you put that cover, that magazine next to the Kim Kardashian one, and the only difference in the magazines is the cover. Who do you think is going to sell more issues than Kim Kardashian in her her barely visible bathing suit? Or you think the plus size gal? Who's going to sell more covers? Who's going to attract more newsstand sales from perverted young men? There's Kim Kardashian just looking amazing, coming out of the pool. Can we get to uni as well? We also have, I don't even know who the fourth one is, but I don't need to see Elon Musk's mom. But I guess it's progress that we're going to also celebrate Kim Kardashian as well as the plus size cover gal. Jordan Peterson, here's the only problem with Jordan Peterson. After he tweeted that she wasn't beautiful, he got a lot of blowback, a lot of people very upset with him. He started complaining about how mean people are online last night.
That's what I'm saying. What?
You're going to sit there and point out that she's not beautiful, which is fine. That's your opinion. And then you're going to cry that people are criticizing you on Twitter? Please. All right, so you're going to put that photo of Kim Kardashian up. Then you're going to put the lovely Yummy. I call her Yummy. I mean, we're talking about all the women in the world, Ironhead. We're not talking about, you know, a 10, a 2, and a 2, a 10. This is not Last Call. And you're looking around and there's Yummy. You're talking all the women in the world. This would be your choice to go on the cover of the swimsuit issue.
No. I know. Now we're putting words in my mouth here.
No. That's the point. I didn't say she was hideous, and neither did Jordan Peterson. All Jordan Peterson said was not beautiful. That's it. And then he started whining about all the mean tweets, which is kind of pathetic. When you're Jordan Peterson and you're a fighter for free speech, you're going to sit there and say, you know, Twitter's such a mean place. Why is everyone so nasty to me? Well, because you made fun of their, I mean, there's millions of guys who are into this. They want more cushion for the push. And so they're looking at this and they're saying, this is nice. We finally get to see you know, one of my kind of gals on the cover of SI. It's ridiculous, and it's and nobody looks at that and says she's more attractive than all the beautiful women in the magazine. But by the way, they've had a transgender model the last couple of years, and I guess it's we're making progress. They're not putting the transgender. They don't have Leah Thomas on the cover this time. Maybe next year, Leah Thomas in her in his bathing suit. But anyway, that's the that's trending too. I believe yes, it was a big deal last night online that Jordan Peterson didn't find her beautiful. I'm with Professor Peterson. Nothing against Yumi, but it's just it's kind of embarrassing that you're going to put her right next to. Right next to Kim Kardashian, expect it to hold up. Just doesn't work. But all right, let's get back to Biden before we get to all this other stuff we have to on this Monday, because I think this is a big deal. It's a big deal for a few reasons. One, this is a man who refused to go to Waukesha. It was nothing. All you had to do was, you know, waddle on, you know, stumble up the stairs onto Air Force One, go to Waukesha, meet with some families, go to the scene of the crime, talk about healing and unity and decry violence and decry hate and racism. Didn't do it because, again, the six dead, all white, the 60 injured, all white. The kid, 8-year-old Jordan Sparks, white kid. That there's no political benefit to Joe Biden. That's how cynical and divisive the man is. This time, it's a white guy, 18-year-old Peyton Gendron or Gendron. I don't even know how to pronounce it. By the way, we can get to this, but we find out the motive. According to his family, I think it's his mother's cousin, talked to the New York Post. According to the family, it was COVID. It was COVID caused the mental breakdown. We won't hear much about that, that the lockdowns, locking a disturbed, mentally ill teenager indoors in front of his computer for 2 years. We won't hear much about that being the reason the guy completely snapped and committed mass murder, because the racism, the white nationalist, the white supremacist angle is just too helpful to Joe Biden. But I wonder how nervous the Biden team is as he as they set up outside the grocery store with their teleprompters, and this confused old man is just trying to brush up on the material. You know, how many people died, who shot him, how exactly he's going to use this. I saw someone previewed this last night and said he's going to use the term existential threat, that white supremacy, this one mentally ill punk, shoots 13 people, and he's going to say this is an example of the epidemic of white supremacy, the existential threat, which of course is ridiculous, but you know, whatever helps him perhaps get out of the hole he's in, he will use. But I'm expecting today when Tom Shattuck goes on the radio, he's going to be talking about a colossal, an epic blunder on the part of Joe Biden. Am I getting my hopes up too high on this, Shattuck? What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I think that it's going to, he'll tie in white supremacy, and he'll tie in the January 6th, and he'll tie in parents yelling at Board of Ed meetings and say that this is our last stand in November. That's it. I mean, he's going to be disgusting, obviously, and he's going to use these people. There's no president like Biden who is happy to use race to divide, you know, even with the Romney stuff and the fact that we're killing the least fortunate of us, that we're not wearing masking and this and that. So yeah, he'll be gross today. He will say that Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham provided the ammo for this guy and lit the fire, and it's going to be a total culture war. And they'll tie in Roe v. Wade, of course,
right?
Because another way that these evil Republicans are happy to express violence upon the citizens.
I wonder just how low he'll go. I wonder if there's any, you know, governor there, anything that will have them say that's a little too cynical, that's a little too disgusting, or will he go all in and all white supremacy, white nationalist, racism, our biggest problem, our biggest issue, threat in the homeland today, white supremacy, because he's been waiting for this. He's been waiting a year and a half for somebody to do what Peyton Gendron did and serve him up a very convenient political issue. So is there any limit? Is there any limit to the depth they will go? Clearly, we saw from the new press secretary, Jean-Pierre, that they that they're going to make the most out of this. I mean, it was almost comical listening to her explain why. I don't know if you have that, Ironhead. Listening to Jean-Pierre explain why he didn't go to Waukesha. I mean, it was amazing on her first day how ill-prepared she was. It was amazing how over her head she appeared to be on day one. And we got a few cuts. I want to get to the question about the economy and inflation, where she is just clearly so ill-informed, so ill-prepared that she almost should just say no. I mean, she's a spokesman. She should say no comment. I can't talk about that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not prepared enough. I can't do it. And spare herself the humiliation of trying to talk about the economy. But is this Jean-Pierre answering Ducey's question about why he didn't go to Waukesha?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
How come the president is visiting Buffalo after a senseless tragedy there, but he couldn't visit Waukesha after 6 were killed and 61 injured in an attack on a Christmas parade there?
I mean, he's visited many communities. Buffalo, he's able to go tomorrow to Buffalo before the trip. That is something that was important for him to do. But he has visited many other communities. Buffalo is not the first community, sadly, that he has to go up to. Because of a violent attack. So, you know, that's not the first one. So he's been to many others.
And I guess Ducey had a few questions. He grilled her good on day one and exposed her, but that's your answer? He's visited many communities? You know what amazes me, Shattuck? He does not care that he appears to be extremely divisive and using race. I mean, he doesn't care. If he cared, he would have popped in on Waukesha. I mean, again, it's not that hard to do. Dr. Jill did it. He could have popped into Waukesha for an hour, had a couple photo ops, sniffed some hair, and been back on Air Force One. He doesn't do it. So it's almost like deliberate, intentional. Watch me divide everyone on racial lines. Watch me use one race hate crime and not the other. He doesn't care. He doesn't care how bad it looks.
No, the only criteria is their political utility. So in Waukesha, there was no way to implicate Tucker Carlson in the right. So F it. No, who cares? They're just driving right past. And remember also, like you ask if there's any governor on this guy. 5 days ago, mothers who can't find formula are saying, I'm panicking here. I can't feed my baby. I'm panicking. And they say, Biden, were we not prepared for this? Well, I couldn't predict the future.
Well, we're not a mind reader. He actually
said, not a mind reader.
We're not mind readers. And 5 minutes later, we found out they knew all about the problem in February. He didn't mention it till May. We knew about it in February. So not only does he not care that he appears really, you know, heartless and cynical, but he doesn't care that he flat out lies. I mean, how far was that? He says, oh, we didn't know about it till May. And then 5 minutes later, oh yeah, we did. Everyone did. We knew about the Abbott, you know, the plant and all the issues. And we knew this was coming down the road.
Yes.
And we should have anticipated it, but you know, he was too busy sending $40 billion to Ukraine. By the way, And this doesn't even get any coverage. It doesn't get any attention at all. Sending troops to Somalia yesterday. We are sending troops to Somalia. On the day we set a new record, April set a new record for people coming across our southern border. You know, criminals, drug dealers, drug cartels, human traffickers. Nobody cares. The Border Patrol is totally overmatched, undermanned. On that day, the day after the Somalia election, which apparently was some kind of quid pro quo, the day after the election, we send troops, special forces, to a country that is lawless, that has no central government. I mean, we send them there, and nobody asks, why are we putting our troops in harm's way in Somalia when we have an invasion on the southern border? I mean, I think it's crazy that were on the Polish border ready to fight Russia in a moment's notice. But how, could you imagine if Biden had to explain today, why are we sending special forces to Somalia? It's just, I mean, it's madness. And it's, I understand they want to do this because Trump didn't. Trump pulled them out of Somalia. Mm-hmm. But we're going back in. People trust Joe Biden. People trust this lawless regime to not get our best and brightest killed in this hellhole halfway around the world. And nobody cares. It's just like, yeah, well, whatever. It's he's a Democrat, so he's allowed to.
What is the Biden doctrine? Is it, are they mistreating women and girls in Somalia? Is that what it is?
They've used the wrong pronouns.
Hey, Brian, I don't want to get too far afield, but also just going back to the cynicism of the administration, they're all like that too. Even Buttigieg said, scoffs at the mother saying, you know, we don't make baby formula.
Right.
Talking down, and some guy from the National Review tweeted out that Psaki is so good at this job. She was best ever. It's like the best ever. You 11 months ago were scoffing at people saying, oh, the crisis of the treadmill delay, she was using sarcasm to scoff at people who cared about supply chain stuff. That's not good. She's not skilled. She can be an a-hole and dunk on people, but you're losing the middle of the country when they're hurting and you're laughing at them.
The best ever. That is comical. I mean, she was good at lying. She went out there and sent the message and just lied every single day about you name it, the southern border, whatever the issues, Ukraine. And she did it without missing a beat, without batting an eye. She could lie on the behalf of the Biden regime, and she did it. She did it fine. But I saw this woman yesterday and said, Uh-oh. Can you want to play the answer to the question when she's asked about the economy, about Biden's contention, which is absurd. But I mean, an eighth grader in an economics class or a 10th grader knows how stupid this is. But Biden said raising corporate taxes will help fight inflation. Now, everyone knows that's not true, but everyone knows the entire agenda is about equality, equity. And it's about, attacking the rich, dividing people along not just racial lines, but economic lines. So she's asked a perfectly straightforward question. How does raising the corporate tax fight inflation? And this is not that tough. It's going to get tougher, Corrine. It is going to get tougher. You have one or two real reporters there. Everyone else is there to cheer you on, as they did yesterday. They told her how wonderful it is to see her up there because she checks so many boxes, and that's the most important thing. She's the first gay, black, immigrant, whatever. So everyone in the press corps, except Ducey, is just thrilled to be in her presence. But Ducey asks her a simple question. How does that fight inflation? And she is just lost. And I said this earlier, Shattuck, I think she might have to start saying no comment. I just don't know. I don't know. I know I'm the spokesman. I know I'm supposed to answer the questions, but I just don't have I'm just not prepared. I don't have the brains. I don't have the background. I can't do it. But
she's going to need to learn to circle back quickly. Yeah,
let's listen to this mess of an answer to the economic question.
Well,
but how does raising taxes on corporations lower the cost of gas, the cost of a used car, the cost of food for everyday Americans?
So, look, I think we encourage those who have done very well, right, especially those who care about climate change, to support a fair tax code that doesn't change, that doesn't charge manufacturers, workers, cops, builders a higher percentage of their earnings, that the most fortunate people in our nation, and not let that stand in the way of reducing energy costs and fighting this existential problem, if you think about that as an example.
Oh, my God. So how does corporate tax fight inflation? Climate change, existential, whatever, fairness.
Thank you for asking about inequity.
She was asked two questions. The other one was about, the answer was the same. Equity and equality. If you raise corporate taxes, they raise prices. It gets passed on, to individuals. The idea that it fights inflation. They don't care about inflation. They don't care about any economic issues other than equity, equality. People who have done the best, they should pay more. I'm like, That's not the question. I mean, honest to God, that she's reading. She can't even do it off the cuff. Those are talking points from, you know, every faculty lounge in the Ivy League.
Yes, but that's who's left for them, Jerry.
She can't just say it. She has to read it. Cops and firefighters and teachers pay a lower tax, higher tax rate. You go, that wasn't the question.
No, but Jerry, I think that we're missing it here. I think that's what's left of, you know, their constituency is, you know, the 20% of AOC Ron Klain Democrats, true believers. It is the faculty lounge people, which is why you said that she was unprepared yesterday. I disagree. That first 3 minutes of talking about how black and how gay and how immigrant she was.
Wicked. Oh, she's wicked gay. Unbelievable. Oh, her immigrant. She's such an immigrant.
Jerry, she spent 3 minutes. This is a flack. A flack is never supposed to talk about herself or ever get in the shot when you're, you know, you've seen when people bring in radio guests, the flack usually stands in the corner and, you know, and slinks away. You're never, it's never supposed to be about you. But with her, it is. It's not about policy issues. It's about her and how historic a moment this is. It's very historic, this moment.
It was very Obama-ish. You could count the I's and the me's and the my's and the myself. And it's like, and you're right. She's supposed to be speaking for the empty husk that's down the hall,
right,
in the Oval Office. She's not speaking about her life. She actually said that my life, my truth, or something. Your truth. You're the friggin' PR person.
I do have the video.
She's uplifting us. Go ahead, Craig.
I do have the video of her talking about how many boxes she checks. If you are interested,
let's just, because this is honest to God. This does kind of. Explain this whole administration. This is all that matters. They have one identity politics hire after another. And the fact that Kamala Harris has been an abject disaster, it doesn't slow them down. The next thing they named Ketanji Brown Jackson, who can't, you know, tell you what a woman is, who's completely overmatched, but doesn't matter. Checking boxes. That's all the Biden administration cares about. And this is the best example of all, a woman who brags about how many boxes she checks and somehow wants you to think she's historic. She's a PR. There's no such thing as a historic PR person. See, I mean, you're just there to speak for the president. In fact, just read the words that whoever, Ron Klain, wrote for you. It's not about you, but you're right. She did. She made it all about her. Let's listen.
I am obviously acutely aware that my presence at this podium represents a few firsts. I am a black, gay, immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position. Jesus. I would not be here today if it were not for generations of barrier-breaking people before me. I stand on their shoulders. If it were not for generations of barrier-breaking people before me, I would not be here. But I benefit from their sacrifices. I have learned from their excellence, and I am forever grateful to them. Representation does matter. You hear us say this often in this administration, and no one understands this better than President Biden.
Right, sure. You know what? It is the least diverse administration, the least diverse group of people you'll ever see. They agree on everything. They're 100% in agreement on all the issues. The only thing that's diverse is their immutable characteristics, which should be irrelevant. I mean, the idea that's just historic, it's not historic. She thinks the same way as every other spokesman, well, certainly, and Jen Psaki and every spokesman Barack Obama had, everyone in Obama or Biden administration, they all think the same way. There's nothing historic about it. You don't count historic just because of your complexion or who you sleep with.
Unless you're in the Klan or BLM.
Oh, right. But it doesn't matter that, you know, she checks all the boxes. After one day, it's clear she's terrible. She's going to be terrible at the job. She's not ready for this. She's reading talking points that have nothing to do with the question she was asked. I watched the press guy, and it was one cringe moment after another. Maybe she'll improve. Maybe she'll get, you know, her feet under her at some point and improve at the job. But right now, it is scary. And I don't know at what point you say, you know what, we're all for diversity and we're all for inclusion and all that, but we need competence here. We need competence because that's something they lack.
This is not helping the case for diversity. The brand of diversity has been hurt in the last 2 years. And, you know, she's 4 minutes into an Oscar acceptance speech about herself. Meanwhile, there's still police tape in Buffalo and in Laguna Woods. And there's 33 people shot in Chicago over the weekend. And there's inflation and they can't get any baby formula. There's fires everywhere happening. But this is the priority. Just like Deb Haaland, the Secretary of the Interior, the Indian woman, Native American woman. Right. Last week, she was bawling her eyes out, talking about 150 years ago, the Native American assimilation push to have them be more Western, et cetera, because it hurt her personally and her people. And finally, she has a chance to uplift her people. These people are psychotics, but that's what they think their jobs are.
Well, I was going to say the worst example of this is Kamala Harris because she's so terrible at her job. But then I thought about Pete, Mayor Pete. I mean, he could be worse. I mean, he's a disaster. And you watch him and you say, why is he secretary? Why is the mayor of South Bend? One reason, you know, he's gay. I mean, if he weren't gay, he'd still be. He probably wouldn't be, you know, elected the mayor in South Bend. I mean, that's why he advanced, because he checks a very important box. And then when he gets real responsibility, you say, oh, he's really not good at this job. It's just so.
But the same way they encourage her to talk about her firsts, he was encouraged to take paternity leave while the ports were stuffed up and you couldn't get ships in, you couldn't get trucks to deliver goods, supply chain problems. The guy in charge of it is on vacation to support his male husband or wife who doesn't need help. He hasn't been physically, marginalized because of childbirth.
It was a real tough. It was a tough childbirth, though, Shattuck. Give him a break. He needed 4 months vacation on the taxpayers as we have one disaster, one crisis after another. He's a joke. I used to think that he might be the guy, because clearly Kamala Harris isn't when they evoked the 25th Amendment. He can't do it either. He's just so over his head. All right, I know you got to go. We got to move. But I do have to get your take on this, because we are, let's be honest, we started today by celebrating diversity. Mm-hmm. Big day for Chubby Chasers. The cover of one of the issues, one of the editions of SI swimsuit issue is Tony Saragusa. I didn't even know he underwent a sex change operation, but he looks good in a bathing suit. Are you celebrating this type of diversity, Shattuck?
My people are breaking down barriers. I am all for this. I find them very attractive. Finally, every stakeholder now can be invested in this cover. It's through a vision of equity. I celebrate this. I find all of the covers very beautiful, and I'm 100% on board.
What was it Kareen said? You celebrate the people who broke down the barriers before you. So are you celebrating yummy new? There's yummy new on the screen with Kim Kardashian. Okay, be honest, Shattuck. I know she's, you know, part of your community. Mm-hmm. But Kimmy's a little more easy on the eyes. Wouldn't you agree?
You know what, Jerry? I don't like to evaluate people simply on their privilege. No, she has thin privilege. But I think Yummy is much more attractive, and I look forward to her being soon one of the smaller models in the SI cover.
Man of honor.
I was going to say, at least, you know, Leah Thomas isn't on the cover. Maybe next year, Leah. Maybe, you know, next year. You know what I think makes a lot of sense in next year's swimsuit issue? Rachel Levine. What do you think? Would we celebrate that? Ooh, absolutely. Wouldn't that be wild? People would have to pretend Rachel Levine looks good in a two-piece.
Another historic first. I'm all for it.
There is a picture out there of Rachel Levine. She's all tatted up. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, really?
But she's too old anyway. Plus, she killed all those old people in the nursing home. So that's a deal breaker right there. All right, Tom Shattuck from WTT. What is it again?
WTIC.
TIC.
The Burn Barrel Podcast, Jerry. That's all we have to talk about.
And the Burn Barrel Podcast, our old friend Shattuck. He's a busy man. Check him out at the Burn Barrel Podcast or listen to him on Tick. out of Hartford.
As in the Lyme tick. It was bad branding. Shattuck,
I know you're going to be all over this Biden disaster, this impending disaster in Buffalo, and I look forward to it. But have fun, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. That is Tom Shattuck from Tick in Hartford, Midday Man, and host of the Burn Barrel Podcast with his lovely wife, Alice. Check him out. Burn Barrel. I don't even know. You check them out anywhere you find your podcast, right? I subscribe. Absolutely. I listen to the Burn Barrel Podcast. He's good. We like Shattuck. We miss him. We used to have him on a lot more, but he's so damn busy. He's got like six jobs. He's on Substack. Writes a good column on Substack, so you can find Shattuck anywhere. I knew Shattuck would be a big fan of Yummy. I just knew he would.
I mean, it's right in the name.
Right. What name?
Yummy.
Yummy. Yummy. I don't know where Yummy's from. I didn't read the article. I just celebrated diversity when I saw the cover. And you know what? Elon Musk's mom is a little weird too. I mean, put them in the magazine, but they really want to put the, do you really want to put these, you know, diversity hires? Do you really want to put them on the cover? The whole point of the swimsuit issue when it started was to be some kind of, you know, be rebellious, defiant, say, we're going to go with hot chicks, even though it's not really politically correct at this point. I don't know how long ago that was, 30 years or whatever. And now they're bending to the pressure. We'll get to that because things are changing. The pendulum is swinging in corporate America because of the absolute destruction of Disney by Governor DeSantis and many members of the media. Other corporations are putting the brakes, tapping the brakes on their efforts to go completely woke. It's not good business. It's not good for the stockholders. We'll give you the latest on Netflix, which is telling its employees that they're just going to have to suck it up and live with the fact that Dave Chappelle is part of the company. Imagine being upset that Dave Chappelle, perhaps the biggest star they have on Netflix, at least comedy guy, you know, the biggest comedian, and you're upset that Dave Chappelle produces content for your company. Yeah. These people are fools, but Netflix is putting them in their place and we commend them. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to a frightening moment from a four-star general, a former first four-star general, now military analyst, who can't tell the difference between actual war and a video game. Man, that is kind of frightening. And I mentioned the excuse, the explanation that the shooter's family gave. COVID did it. And I got to get to a reading. And I don't do this often, but because Deadspin is a joke. But Deadspin last night had the single dumbest column ever written. And I'm not talking sports column, basketball. I'm talking column, period. It is remarkable. And if you wondered what happened to Deadspin, just let me read you this column and you'll understand why it is such a joke. There was a point where Deadspin was a big player. I mean, they were as big as Barstool not that long ago. And now they're just this kook fringe publication that you read for a laugh, but I'll read it to you. You don't have to read it. But first, let's get to our wonderful sponsors. What do we got here, Ironhead?
Yeah, JM Bullion.
Oh,
Bastion Pens.
All right, let's get to that, and we'll get then, and we'll explain to you why I'm a little worried about our our military when a four-star general is tweeting out video games. I'm a little nervous. This show is brought to you by JM Bullion, the nation's leading retailer in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium products. As we've talked about a lot on this show, the war in Ukraine has thrown record amounts of uncertainty in the markets and caused a huge disruption in global supply chains. The ruble is now worth more against the dollar than before the invasion, and inflation in the West is skyrocketing every month. If any of these factors are leading you towards considering gold and silver, we recommend using JM Bullion. Quality products and customer service are the top priorities at JM Bullion. They work directly with mints and distributors and inspect all new inventory carefully, ensuring that the products their customers receive are of the highest quality. Phone, live chat, email support are always available to answer any questions you may have so you can invest with confidence. Starting today, Tuesday, May 17th through Friday, May 20th, visit jmbullion.com and use code word Callahan at checkout to get $15 off any order of $300 or more. Limit one order per customer using the promo code Callahan. And I'm so excited to introduce our newest sponsor, Bastion Bolt Action Pens. If you're the type of person who prefers good old-fashioned pen and paper, like me, to digital note-taking, you want a pen that performs. That's why I'm thrilled to have Bastion Pens as our sponsor, because these are designed in the USA to last a lifetime. The Bastion executive bolt action pen combines the highest quality materials and modern design with fine-tuned craftsmanship as luxurious as it is practical. They have several material options to choose from, including carbon fiber, stainless steel, aluminum, and titanium. No matter which material you go with, the pens are strong enough to break through glass or be used for a weapon of self-defense in case of emergency. That's important. By being the perfect fusion of tactical and luxury, Bastion pens are more than just a writing tool. The bolt action mechanism is extremely satisfying and fun to fidget with. It is. I got my bolt action pen right here, and this thing is solid. I could take out an eye if I'm not careful. To help you write your legacy, Bastion pens has a special offer for listeners of the Jerry Callahan Show. Use promo code Jerry, that's G-E-R-R-Y, check out and get 20% off your entire order. That's promo code Jerry for 20% off. Just go to bastionboltactionpen.com or click the link in our social media bio. All right, his name is Barry McCaffrey. You've probably seen him. He's a military analyst now, like a million other military, but I'm cashing in. He was a four-star general, and he tweeted out a clip from a video game. Now, I'm not the video game guy here. I don't know which video game it is. Let me find the story. And does it explain which video game it is? Russian aircraft. He tweets, this is amazing. Barry McCaffrey tweets, Russian aircraft getting nailed by UKR missile defense. That'd be Ukraine. Russians are losing large number of attack aircraft. UKR air defense becoming formidable. That seems pretty cool. And then when you look at the video, it looks pretty cool. You say, wow, you can. 5 minutes after he tweets it comes, you know, the people who know their video games and they recognize it. And they say, General, that's a video game. That's not the Ukrainian military shooting down Russian jets. If this were just some media, if this were some guy at CNN, if this were, you know, whatever, Brian Stutler or Jim Acosta or whatever tweeting this out, or Jennifer Rubin, I'd say, boy, what an idiot. When it's a general, a former four-star general, I get a little worried. I get a little worried that these people aren't as well-trained as I thought. Didn't you think that a general could know in 1 second the difference between a video game and an actual dogfight in the air? How is it possible he doesn't know that?
Video games are just, the graphics are just insane now. I don't know. There's no excuse.
Do you have it there? Was that the video you just popped up on the screen?
I can't find the video. That's just a still shot of the tweet.
I got it here. Oh, I see. It's a tweet. I watched the video. It is pretty amazing. The graphics in video games are pretty amazing, but I didn't know they could fool a four-star general. But the good news is we're sending them $40 billion worth of our advanced weaponry, and we're encouraging Sweden and Finland to join NATO. So pretty soon we'll know what it looks like to have U.S. aircraft fighting with Russian aircraft above the skies of Ukraine or the skies of Finland or Sweden. We're heading to World War III. And, oh, by the way, this just breaking this morning, I should mention it. This is from Zero Hedge. France, Germany, and Italy favorite negotiations to end Ukraine war. Negotiations to end Ukraine war.
Hmm.
Huh. Wow. I didn't even think of that. You could actually negotiate an end to the killing?
It's almost like former president said to do that a month ago.
Yeah, anyone pointed this out to Joe Biden or the Biden administration? Anyone ask Jean-Pierre about this? Talks, they want peace talks, negotiations to end the war in Ukraine. Well, so which means they wouldn't need our $40 billion, right? They wouldn't need all our weapons. We wouldn't have to send, you know, Mitch McConnell and Susan Collins over there for a photo op. I'll ask again. I'll ask it every day. I don't give a damn. Why isn't anyone saying this? Why do I watch cable news all day and night, read, and I'm online, and nobody says, why not have the little man Zelensky, why not have him sit down or send his emissaries to wherever. Sit down, send them to, who cares? Send them to Moldova. Send them to Georgia. Sit down, negotiate, and end. Give up the Donbass region. I don't know what the details will look like. End the killing, end the shooting, and save us $40 billion. This is so irresponsible. Joe Biden is a flat-out warmonger. We heard from Steny Hoyer, Nancy Pelosi. They want war. That's plain. That's clear now. And it's madness. And I can't imagine that too many Americans support this friggin' stupid, pointless war 5,000 miles away. But hey, viva la Ukraine. Maybe I just saw Julian Lennon singing Imagine on CNN, you know, for the people of Ukraine. You know what I'd rather do rather than have a sing a song? I'd have him sit down and talk and end the frickin' war. But hey, what do I know? The president's all in on escalating things in Ukraine. All right, let's get to the do you want to do Deadspin or Netflix? I can't. Let's do Netflix first, and then I'll go do the Deadspin reading because it's just so it's friggin' hilarious. It really is.
It's something.
This is from Yahoo. Netflix updated its company culture guidelines for the first time since 2017 to include an artistic expression section that warns employees they may be required to work on content that's counter to their personal values. Quote, not everyone will like or agree with everything on our service, the memo says. We let viewers decide what's appropriate for them versus having Netflix censor specific artists or voices. Depending on your role, you may need to work on titles you perceive to be harmful. If you'd find it hard to support our content breadth, Netflix may not be the best place for you.
Love it.
That is so well said. It's a sign of things to come. The story specifically mentions the trouble they had last year when the company faced further scrutiny last October when Netflix employees planned a walkout to protest Dave Chappelle's controversial stand-up in which Chappelle makes transphobic comments. Actually, he doesn't. He just says there are two genders. That's not transphobic, two sexes. Netflix CEO Ted Sarandis defended the decision to air the show in internal emails. So they're telling him, get ready for more Chappelle. Get ready for Norm MacDonald's last special, which he taped and no one knew it existed until he died. I'm really looking forward to that. Bill Burr, any other comedian. I mean, if you're going to have a comedian who's funny, who's edgy, it's going to upset the snowflakes at Netflix. And they're cutting it off, preempting any action by telling them, you don't like it, leave. This is the way it has to be done. This and I'm dead serious when I say they all saw what happened to Disney when Disney was forced to support the radical left side when they had the debate in Florida, the quote, don't say gay bill, which doesn't say gay, but, you know, they pass a bill banning teachers from talking about sex with six-year-olds. Perfectly appropriate common sense bill. And the left in that debate, the liberals in Florida and everywhere in the country, in fact, pressured Disney to take a stand. Disney, as we saw from those leaked videos of their president and their CEO, has gone totally woke. They're promising, as we played the video, promising more pansexual characters in their movies, you know, more inclusion, all this. And it didn't go well. They lost their tax breaks in Florida, which is going to cost them billions. Their stockholders weren't happy. I'm looking at Chris Rufo, the activist guy who's led the charge on this. And he points out, what's the date on this? This is 2 days ago. The share of Americans with a favorable impression of Disney has collapsed from 77% last year to 33% today. This is catastrophic reputational damage and a warning to other companies about the cost of going woke. That is so true. It caused unfathomable damage to the brand when they went totally woke and supported put their support behind teachers who want to groom six-year-olds and talk to them about, you know, their gender identity. That has been banned. I'm not sure why it stops in third grade. It should continue. But Disney, DeSantis put Disney in their place. It cost them a fortune. It cost stockholders a lot. And every other corporation took notice, as well they should, including Netflix. So get ready. You're going to see a lot more of this. Elon Musk commended Netflix for this, said it was a good move. So if Musk ever does take hold of Twitter, there is reason for hope that he will do the same thing at Twitter and tell the super woke sters who've been banning and suspending people left and right, tell them to suck it. There's the door. That's the only approach. That's the only way this can work. So good for Netflix. All right. Quickly on the Buffalo shooters family. This is kind of a strange story because it's a cousin of Gendron's mom. I guess, you know, the media is trying to get everybody on record here, so they're reaching out to whoever they can find. This is from the New York Post. Relatives of Buffalo's supermarket slaughter suspect are copping the COVID defense, telling the New York Post that the teen snapped because of his paranoia and isolation due to the pandemic. Now, this is, I didn't have to tell you, it's in the New York Post because nobody else will write this or say this. It's the last thing the mainstream media or the Democrats want to do. They want to blame it on Tucker Carlson and Fox News, which is absurd. And I wonder if Joe Biden will name names today. He will say right-wing media. He might mention Fox News. Will he go there? Will he mention Tucker Carlson, which is absolutely ridiculous?
If he does, it'll be by accident because that's a big lawsuit waiting to happen if he does that.
Nah, it's you know, whatever. We'll see what happens today. I'm looking forward to some big-time gaffes. But here's Sandra Komaroff, the cousin of Gendron's mom. Quote, I have no idea how we could have gotten caught up in this. I blame it on COVID. He said he was very paranoid about getting COVID, extremely paranoid to the point that his friends were saying he would wear a hazmat suit to school. And then he got COVID a few weeks ago. He went to family functions with a respirator mask on. He totally wasn't going to get COVID. Then he got COVID. They were maxed. They were vaxxed to the max. The family obviously was, apparently wasn't that, beholden to Fox News. Apparently they were getting their cues from somewhere else because a healthy 17-year-old was wearing a hazmat suit. So, I mean, the kid was mentally disturbed. The kid was taken in for mental evaluation less than a year ago. He was committed to a hospital when he said he wanted to shoot up a school. He was committed to a hospital, but they let him go, and he went and got himself some guns, and instead of a school, went to a grocery store. But I'm going to guess that's COVID excuse. COVID alibi doesn't have a lot of legs, or it's not going to hold. It's not going to hold up in court.
Yeah. COVID brain, Jerry, come on.
COVID brain. Right. But it is funny. He's got the, you know, 180 page manifesto, and I could just picture everyone at CNN, MSNBC, all the Democrat reading it. Please, please let him mention Tucker. Please let him mention Sean Hannity, please. And he didn't. So, they don't have that going for them, but it won't stop Joe Biden from blaming everybody else, blaming all of them today. All right, let's get to the deadspin. Do I have time to get to the deadspin?
Yeah, we're at 50 minutes. We got to do Shea also.
All right, let's do Shea, and then we'll do the deadspin thing. And I do want to mention how Hannity has lost his mind. Today's election day in Pennsylvania, and nobody is all in on Dr. Oz like Sean Hannity. Not even Trump is in on Dr. Oz. Some of these people just love famous people. They don't care that Dr. Oz used to be a liberal, used to be pro-abortion, used to be pro, you know, transgender, everything else. He's famous. You know, he's friends with Oprah, so they're all in. I think, I hope Pennsylvania rejects Dr. Oz today. I hope they boot him, that phony, boot him to the curb. But first, let me tell you about Shea. Shea can help you out with your springtime project. That's what they're here for. It's a perfect time to do this, to pull the trigger on your springtime home improvement project. Whether you're building a new home or remodeling an old staircase in an old home, Shea has great values with designs that will fit your home. There are many options available, including concrete, or you can customize with beautiful stone or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you much better curve appeal. Shea will remove the old stairs and walk, have you walking up your new front steps in a matter of hours. When they're done, you'll have a great looking front entrance to your home. It will add value. It's an investment. It's not an expense. This thing, you're going to be so happy you do this. You're going to love your new front steps. With one phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey installation experience. And in a few hours, you'll be walking up your brand spanking new front entrance. To learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps, go to SheaConcrete.com. While you're there, you can look for a job. Shea is hiring. They're always hiring because business is booming. This is a great company, great people. They have between 15 and 20 open positions available right now. These are career opportunities for all different types of people and skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. All right, I tweeted this Deadspin story out last night. It was just amazing. I mean, I don't read it regularly like I used to. Nobody does. It's totally woke. It's totally friggin' super crazy race bait and liberal. It doesn't get any more woke. It's predictable. Everything is racist. Everyone is racist, and every black and a white systemic racism is their thing. But there were people tweeting about this, so I said, let me give him another chance. Let me read. It's by Karen Phillips, or Karan Phillips. He's, their head race baiter. And it's remarkable. The headline is, white fans were entertained by black athletes a day after a racist killed black people in Buffalo. This is what white supremacy looks like. And you're saying, what? He literally writes, he has a problem with the fact that they didn't cancel game sevens on Saturday night, Sunday, that they didn't just cancel the NBA games because of the shooting in Buffalo. Now, no mention of, all the other shootings. Hell, over the weekend in Chicago, 33 people were shot. I'm going to guess most of them black, 5 dead. Over the weekend in St. Louis, 13 shot, 5 dead. All, big cities have a real problem with violence. That doesn't bother people like Karen Phillips. Only when it's white guy shooting black guy, I'm sure he doesn't care about Waukesha or about Frank James in the New York subway. None of that matters. Shouldn't cancel games or have moment of silences for that. But this one mentally ill, sick son of a bitch shoots 13 people in Buffalo, and he wants to cancel the games. It's mind-boggling. And how fans, where's my favorite part? The whole thing is just absurd, but I'll get to... He writes, many times in the last few years, there have been nerve-wracking incidents that have left black Americans even more paranoid than we already have been. And while everybody gets to move on, we're still left with dealing with the trauma, despite how it might not always show itself on the outside. So if you ever see us tense up while driving when we see police, or wonder why our sanctuaries have security, or why we tell each other to be careful when somebody's going out, even if it's just to run an errand, it's because this is what we have to do to survive on a daily basis. We never get to fully exhale and let go. What? Despite how well Jason Tatum and Grant Williams played Sunday in Boston, or how Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie stepped up on the road in Phoenix, just know that they did, despite what happened to people that look like them on Saturday. I mean, on top of being a lunatic, he is just a terrible writer. This is like Jemele Hill quality. Despite they stepped up, just know that they did, despite what happened to people that look like them on Saturday. So Jason Tatum and Grant Williams, he's given them more credit. Obviously, they're amazing. Grant Williams had an epic game 7 on Sunday in Boston. Give them credit because they did it despite a shooting in Buffalo. Because when you're a black athlete in America competing at the highest level as a form of entertainment to the rest of the world, all the while knowing that the majority of the people that cheer for you don't think your life matters, may be the hardest part of the game that you work at that a reporter will never ask about. That is, I'm putting that in the freaking Louvre. That could be the worst written sentence, the worst written paragraph. That's his conclusion. That's supposed to sum it all up and you know, make you think and make you want to, you know, read him next time he writes.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
When you're a black athlete in America competing at the highest level as a form of entertainment to the rest of the world, all the while knowing that the majority of the people that cheer for you don't think your life matters, may be the hardest part of the game that you work at that a reporter will never ask about. That's the last sentence. Well, I guess Deadspin's in worse shape than I thought because they have laid off all the editors. There is nobody editing. That is just uncomfortably bad. But the whole column is about how black, you know, can't relax because some sicko shot 13 people in Buffalo. No mention of the 33 people shot in Chicago over the weekend. That shouldn't make Jason Tatum nervous. Just the Buffalo one. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's the toughest thing they have to deal with. All right, quickly before we go, do we have time to play this sound from Sean Hannity, who has lost his mind? He has been ripping, destroying, attacking Kathy Barnett for weeks because he's such a big Dr. Oz guy, just like Donald Trump. They love Oz. And my favorite cable Newsmax guy, Greg Kelly, are totally in on Dr. Oz for some reason. I mean, maybe they just like famous people, kind of like Trump. Trump just likes Dr. Oz because he's famous, you know?
Right, exactly.
All right, Kathy Barnett's the biggest threat to Dr. Oz, so Hannity and Greg Kelly and Trump have tried to destroy her. I hope she wins. I don't know who has a better shot in the general election. I'll dive into that when this primary ends. But she has rattled their cages, and Sean Hannity actually played a video. This is supposed to be a criticism, a takedown of Kathy Barnett, showing that she went to the Trump rally on January 6th. This is supposed to hurt Kathy Barnett among the MAGA crowd. I'm not sure why. And he actually is indicting her for marching with the Proud Boys, who are big Trump supporters. Obviously, they've been maligned in the, by the Biden administration and the DOJ, but she just didn't commit any crimes, didn't break anything or attack anyone, just went out there with the MAGA crowd and supported Donald Trump on January 6th. This is supposed to be disqualifying, according to Sean Hannity. Can you play this? Because I found this amazing.
This would contradict everything he's been saying about this day, right?
Yeah, everything he's been saying for years. So she showed up. He's supporting Oz because Trump's supporting Oz, and that's Trump's choice. And Trump loves him because he's Oprah's friend. He's evolved on the issues, kind of like Trump did. So he's all in on Dr. Oz. And Hannity wants to knock off Barnett. So he plays a video and says, this is her marching in support of Trump on Jan 6. And I know we don't have the whole show. We just have a quick clip. But what the hell is he? You got to be kidding me. That is your argument? I mean, I'm thinking of the average MAGA guy, the average Trump supporter, and they're saying, holy crap, I didn't know much about her. There's a lot of holes in her resume, but she must be all MAGA. If she's going to go to the rally on January 6th, she didn't go in the Capitol. She didn't get arrested or anything. She just went there to support Trump. And Hannity thinks that is somehow a mark against her. But let's listen.
Look at your screen. Here is Barnett marching alongside. This just broke today. Radical Proud Boys during January 6th. She claimed she had no idea who they were and that she didn't breach the Capitol. And look at this.
She's walking. Look at that. She's just walking with a bunch of Trump people down the street. They got flags and hats and red hats. That's the candidate that Hannity is obsessed with stopping. The one who marched on January 6th. Now, there's lots of other things, and believe me, I've seen and read. I've watched Greg Kelly every night, and he has been destroying her. I hope she wins. I don't hope she wins. I hope Oz loses. How's that? How's Oz loses? I hope that phony loses, and you have either David McCormick, a war hero, a 82nd Airborne guy. He'd be fine with me, too, but I love Kathy Barnett. She's spunky, And I think a lot of people would support her in the general election, but who knows? It's Pennsylvania. Probably, you know, stuff the ballot box anyway. So anyway, we will leave it there for today. Did we get through with all our technical difficulties, Ironhead? You're going to put this together seamlessly?
Oh, yeah. No detection.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm going to be watching Biden's speech, expecting a disaster in Wisconsin, but who knows? Maybe he'll surprise me. Maybe it's early in the morning when he's, you know, at his most lucid, and maybe he'll do a fine job of reading the words on the teleprompter. We shall see. But that will do for today. Thank you for everyone for watching and listening. Thanks to our pal, Tom Shattuck. Check out the Burn Barrel podcast with Shattuck and his wife. Thanks to you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not.
Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.